Well, what a great day to be in God's house.
Amen.
Brother Calvin is in the house. And looking good.
What's he wearing? Is that a blue jacket?
Oh, I know. You're getting to have a body like the preacher too. And you lost some weight.
Three pack.
Yeah, see? That's what you live for him to have a body like the preacher, didn't it? That's right. Hey, on the scale this morning, yeah, you got to understand, I've been working on this now for, 18 months or whatever, but I hit the 60-pound mark that I lost. Yeah, it hasn't been easy. It's put me in a bad mood, to be honest with you. Hey, can you lose weight and stay in a good mood? Have you ever tried that? No, you can't do that. One comes with the other. I mean, it's either you eat what you want and you're in a good mood and you die, or you lose a lot of weight, you stay in a bad mood and you're miserable. What are the two choices you got? I've never seen skinny people that are happy. Well, I've seen a lot of fat people happy. But I've buried a lot of fat people too, so you know what I'm saying? But hey, I'm trying to get there. It's tough, because I like to eat, but it's tough. Mr. Bill's in the house. Good to see you, Mr. Bill. You know, understand this one thing, and this is mainly more for people who watch me by the internet. When I get emails from people who say, well, I haven't been in church in a while, and I've got this issue, and I've got that issue, and all that. Let me tell you something. I got a church full of people that's got issues. Okay? I mean, I got them in wheelchairs, walkers, taking one step in front of the other, and just thankful they take one step in front of the other, and are here in church. So if you watch me being there, if you got a little ache today, I'd say get your tail in church. Because it doesn't matter. If you can get there, get there. That's what it's all about, being in God's house. Because let me tell you something, Jesus went through a lot for you. And you know, some people have to do to get here, what all they got to do, it takes them a long time to get ready. Jim even said today he had to fight with Satan to get here. And I said, well, what's Janet done now? And he said, no, not Janet. He said, I'm telling you, he said, my body was saying go back to bed. And Satan said, oh, just get on back in here and cover back up. And he said, no, I want to go to church. Satan said, oh, your back hurts. Your legs hurt. You can't see. You can't hear. You're in a bad mood. Go back to bed. He said, I don't care if I'm in a bad mood. I don't care if I can't see. I don't care if I can't hear. I want to go to church. And he said, I'm going to battle. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a battle sometimes to get here. But once you get here, you've won the battle. Give the Lord a hand. Now, we're going to deal. Yes, ma'am?
I just want to say, the people who were not here last Sunday, just a fantastic service with the kids. And Colin sick and I have a storm. I don't know for Stephanie, but I think it touched a lot of people as well.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, he was absolutely, he sang me a better than Ryan Stevens does.
Yeah.
So I wish you could not tell him, but he was fantastic. You all just a great program.
Yes. Everybody here is in the eye of the storm. You know that? Ain't nobody here that don't have a storm. You understand that? Sometimes the wind's not as rough as it can be, but everybody here is in the storms. Everybody here is living life. And believe me, if you live life long enough, you're going to be in a storm. The trouble of it is, if I'm in a storm, I don't want to be in some little dinky of a boat. I want to be on a ship, and the ship's called Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Don't make no difference how big the waves get if you're on a big enough ship. You can ride it out. And that's what it is. We need to be riding it out with Jesus. All right. Now we're back to God's survival guide. And a lot of people says they are really enjoying the study of this book. It's a good book. This guy's a good writer. He puts it in everyday language for us to understand. This guy is not only a minister, but he's a psychiatrist. And he's going to deal with a subject that every one of you deals with, I deal with, and it's called rejection. Everybody at some point in time has had to deal with the subject of being rejected. That for some reason, somebody's not going to accept you. It could be for what you believe, where you're from, how you act, who your family is. You could be rejected because you go to church. And believe me, there are even some church people that can reject you. Understand this one issue about rejection. Most of us take it personally. But let me tell you something, folks. The best way to take it is this. Is understand it. Jesus had to deal with rejection. I mean, in the worst way. But here's the one thing that I want you to see out of this study about rejection. Don't let it stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. And what we're supposed to be doing is living for Jesus every day, working for Jesus every day, being a Christian every day. Not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to love you. But don't let it stop you from being what you are and who you are. And that is a child of the living God. Now, if we've done something, if we've acted wrong, and nobody here is perfect, everybody here has got some issues, okay? If you've done something wrong, then apologize for it. If you've done something wrong, then try to make it right. I mean, that's what you do as a Christian person. Ain't nobody here perfect. But understand this, there are going to be those times in life where you're going to be rejected. Our teenagers today, let me tell you something. What they're seeing, what they're facing, even on an elementary age, is this thing called rejection. Everybody wants friends. Everybody wants people around them. Our children are growing up in some of the most horrible conditions that you've ever seen. And it's called rejection. You ready to take the journey with me? Say amen. The fear of rejection and its first cousin, the fear of failure, are roadblocks on the path to a life full of purpose. You have a purpose. Understand that. Every single one of you has a purpose. You are loved by God, and you have a reason for living, and you have a reason for who you are. Nobody in here alike, nobody in here looks alike, but you have a purpose in life. Don't let anybody ever destroy that. You have a purpose. Give the Lord a hand of applause. When we try to please everybody in sight, we create for ourselves a task that is unrealistic, unsatisfied, and unworthy of our efforts. A far better strategy, of course, is to concentrate first and foremost on pleasing who? God. Pleasing who? Say it with me. God. But sometimes that's easier said than done, especially for folks who focus too intently on being people pleasers. Now, as a Christian person, we need to be pleasing to a level. We don't need to be a bully. We need to act like we've got some sense. We need to show people grace. We need to be willing to forgive. And we need to be willing to ask for forgiveness. But let me say this to you. Jesus does not expect you to allow anybody to run completely over you just because you are a Christian person. That's not right. Don't do that. Now, there's a way to handle it, but you make sure you understand this. There were some times, right times, spiritual times, that Jesus stood up and he said, not in my house. Now, There are some times to get angry. But understand this. The only way to understand when it is time to stand up is when you stand up with Jesus. You stand up on your own, you're wrong. You stand up for Jesus, you will be right. Give the Lord a hand of God. Pleasing other people is a good thing up to a point. We ought to be kind, considerate, and we need to have a willingness to please. As long as it doesn't interfere with our own belief system. Now that's important. It's important. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. We are to be pleasing to people, but it doesn't mean just because somebody comes up and asks me to rob a bank, I need to go help them rob a bank because I think it would make me get in good with them. Now that's real off the wall, but I'm just saying, you know, you don't please people if it's wrong. And they're asking you to do something wrong. Young people, listen to me. Listen to me very closely. You in school, someone asks you to do something and you know good and well it ain't right. Oh, it's fine. You know, maybe we need to pick on somebody. Believe me, we live in a world today where this thing called being a bully is out of control. And anybody that's in our school system knows it, sees it. Chris sees it on the school bus. Some of our school teachers see it in school. You thought it was bad in our day. Let me tell you something today, folks. An 8, 9, 10-year-old can cuss you out better than a 25-year-old. They live in a world where that's all they hear. That's all they know. They know fathers in the house no more. They're living with grandparents. And grandparents are wonderful, but sometimes they're up in age. They don't have the energy. It's amazing. It's amazing if you knew what some of these kids went home to. And yet understand this. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come to me. I feel sorry for anybody that is a child. Because I tell you this right now, you mislead a child, you're going to understand and you're going to answer for it. Now, believe me, children need discipline. Nothing wrong with disciplining a child for right and wrong situations. If you're an adult, be the adult. If you're the parent, be the parent. But understand this one thing. As a leader, you're accountable for what you do. And it's hard to tell a child between right and wrong if you don't know between right and wrong yourself. And that's the problem with how kids are being raised today. The parents and the grandparents don't even know what's right and wrong themselves. Now that's just a gospel truth. That's the age in which we live in today. We got social workers here. They see it every day. They know what it's like. But I promise you this. Jesus loves his children. And there's going to be a payment for anybody that misleads a child. Give a warm hand of applause. If you are a world-class people-pleaser, say that 10 times, and if you're displeased with the consequences of your behavior, consider the following 4 things about your actions. Your fear of rejection probably results from unspoken messages, that you're telling yourselves about the consequences of being judged unworthy or imperfect by the people whom you seek to impress. Here's what's wrong. We all want to be loved. Anybody here don't want to be loved? We all want to be loved. We all want to be liked. But it's amazing the lag that we've crossed just so somebody will like us. You'll be surprised the line that you'll cross just to get somebody's love. And then once you cross the line, then you find out they really didn't like you to begin with. They really love you to begin with. Never, never give up your principles so somebody will like you or love you or respect you. You stand with Jesus. If they like you, fine. If they don't, fine. But you stand with Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Number two, you may be living and laboring under the mistaken belief that it's horrible or awful to hear the word no. No's okay sometimes. Jesus says no sometimes. People have asked me and said, I don't hear the voice of God anymore. Well, maybe what you're saying to me is that you're hearing the word no. When you ask for something and you don't get it, you get mad. You throw a fit. You throw a temper. We have to understand something. It's okay to be told no. Thank God I was told no many times in my lifetime, or I could really be in a world of hurt today. My parents told me no. My grandparents told me no. My teacher told me no. My wife said no many times. You have had the nerve to tell the preacher no on several occasions. But folks, if it wasn't for the word no, most of you would be in trouble. Understand this one thing. Everything in life happens for a reason, whether you like it or not. There's a reason why things happen. Please understand something. Some things in life are not pleasant, and some of the things we have to go through are not pleasant. But life is full of moments that teach you something. And my dad always told me, the greatest, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but you know it to be the truth, the greatest teacher on the planet is called pain. Because something has to get your attention. And pain will get your attention faster than anything else on the planet. My dad was an electrician. Kevin and I were talking about this the other day. He was shocked twice in his lifetime. He never got shocked a third time because he learned his lesson. Don't get your wires crossed up in life. When you do, it can hurt. Dad always told me this whenever I was around electricity. Matter of fact, I think Kevin even told Alex this yesterday. When you're dealing with electricity, don't ever take somebody's word for it that circuit breaker's been turned off. We got people in the grave today that were told the circuit breaker's been turned off. He said, you go and you take care of yourself if you're dealing with electricity. You make sure yourself, you see it with your own eyes, that that circuit breaker or whatever it is turned off before you touch those wires. We see Satan does the same thing. He'll tell you, oh, go on and do it. It's all right. No, you better test the waters yourself before you do it. Because there's been so many people in hell today because they listened to Satan and said it was okay to mock God. It was okay to cuss God. It was okay to sin, and you won't answer for it. And now they're in a devil's hell because they listen to it. Listen to this one thing and understand it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't take my word for it. Open up God's word for it yourself and see it for yourself. Amen. But that's what it is all about. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Number three is this: look for ways that your fear of rejection may impact other areas of your life. In other words, if you're being rejected, look yourself in the mirror. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you got an attitude about something. Ain't nobody here perfect. I guarantee you there's some days I'm not likable. And I know that. And I have to work on that. You know, if I'm hurting, if I'm in pain, if I'm aggravated about something, it's not a good day to ask me for something. Now, very few of you have ever seen me what I call mad. Carl thinks he has. because he lived next door to me for a few years. And he only saw me slightly upset one time. And Lord knows I have paid the price for that for the rest of my life. Man throws it up to me at least once a week. Oh, Roger, I remember the day when that Lincoln wouldn't start. I remember the day I got the phone call and said, come down here and help me, Carl. I remember just like it was yesterday, Roger, when I got down there and we couldn't get the battery out. I remember just like it was yesterday. I saw an unholy moment in a man who I respected at the time. But you know, he saw one unholy moment with me. I saw 42 with him. I've never thrown any one of them 42 moments up to this man. Well, one time I did. But that was, I had a reason for it. But understand this one thing. As Christian people, we do need to act like we've got some sense. And sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, hey, you know, you ain't all that. You need to look yourself in the mirror and check yourself out. And maybe you need to straighten yourself out on occasions. And believe me, we all need to do that. Don't we? Give the Lord a hand of applause. The last thing. Oh, listen to this very closely. You can't please everybody, and you need to stop trying. Just a fact of life. You're not going to please everybody. Well, it don't matter what you do. How you do it or when you do it. There are just some people that you're not going to please. So we have to understand something. You answer to one person. And one person only. And it's called your Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you answer to. And if you answer to him, he's going to show you how to act. And if you get out of line, then he's going to put conviction on your heart. And he's going to say, hey, you need to straighten up, Roger. Or hey, you need to get Roger. And if I'm truly a child of God, I'm going to listen to him. Because everybody here wants to get better. We all want to get stronger in our Christian faith. We all want to walk stronger. Don't we? I mean, that's what it's all about. Because here's the real key to this whole issue. The stronger I get with the Lord, the better the witness I become. And that's really what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. I'm never going to be perfect, not on this side of heaven. But I need to pray that the Lord gives me strength every day. And when I'm rejected, and I'm going to be, then here's what Jesus says for me. All right, Larry, let's go. Oh, I've used this several times. Look at it. Whatsoever place shall not receive you. In other words, any place or any person that rejects you. And they hear you not. As you go forth, shake off the dust that's under your feet. That's a testimony to them. What does this simply mean? Now, this, Jesus said this, okay? Jesus said, all you can do is the best you can. I expect you to act like you got some sense. I expect you to act the best you can. When you need to apologize, you're going to apologize. When you've done something wrong, you make it right. But when you've made it right, and you've apologized, and you've done all you can do, and they still have nothing to do with you, you shake the dust off your feet, and you move. Because it all comes down to the fact that as Christian people, when we're rejected, first of all, we need to look in the mirror, because if it's my fault, I need to make it right. But if it's not my fault, and if it is my fault, I need to apologize. But if it's not my fault, and I'm trying to live the best I can, I understand there are going to be people in this world that's not going to like you. I don't care anything about you. Don't concentrate on that. You go where you're loved. You go where people care. Because after you've tried all you can try, Jesus says, do your long. And quit wasting your life. So we look in the mirror. We judge ourselves. Believe me, I need to judge myself a bunch. You make it right, and then you move on. Do the best you can. After all, we answer to Jesus and Jesus only. What we do answer to Jesus, and we answer for what we say, how we act, and what we do. And none any greater. As Paul said, the chief among the sinners is me. Every day I have to ask for forgiveness. And believe me, every day Brother Roger asks for forgiveness. You do the same. And believe me, whenever rejection comes in our lives, we will deal with it and we will move on. But when we move on following Jesus. Give a warm hand of applause. You stand with me, please. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, I thank you for your words and I thank you for who you are and what you are. Father, as we enter into this time of invitation, if there be someone who's lost or someone who's not made it public that they need to accept Jesus Christ, may they come forward and do that today. Someone who needs a quiet time at this altar, we invite those folks to come. If they need me to pray with them, Father, come and let me pray with them. Father, most of all, if anybody is lost, this is the day of salvation. No one's promised tomorrow. Father, bless these ones. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?